Good afternoon. Today is Friday, January the 27th, 27th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Simple Country Therapist Lou Quimby.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
For what? Getting your name right?
I'm just so grateful.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
I want to thank my mom.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, we don't have a topic yet because we haven't heard from our quote yet.
Oh, okay.
So as soon as we take our break, we'll hear from our quote. We'll know what we're going to talk about. And I'm sure it will be another one of those engaging, scintillating programs.
Oh, it'll be riveting.
Whoa. Okay, break out your rivet gun then, and we'll be back.
There we go. Pop.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 416. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby, but before we do, our quote of...
One of my heroes, Vince Lombardi. Leaders are made, they're not born. They're made by hard effort, which is the price all of us must pay to achieve any goal that is worthwhile.
Interesting.
Yes, indeedy.
Interesting quote. Have you followed the...
Interrupts a lot of people with senses of entitlement. About what they're owed.
Huh?
The world owes me a living. Like you. you're one of the most hardworking people I know.
But the entitlement part isn't there.
You don't have the entitlement.
No.
You're just a hard worker.
Yeah, I miss that part of the meal, huh?
of your upbringing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people think they're entitled to whatever they think they're entitled to.
Well, we got all kinds of reality shows showing that, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah,
we certainly do.
Yeah.
And it's really disheartening to see wealthy suburban housewives attacking each other about trivia. Good Lord.
Yeah, but it's nice to see that the Botox is still working.
Botox, I'm not sure, honey. You don't look that good.
Yeah.
Bang. You're supposed to support me. Oh, I would support you if you found a decent plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
Talk about senses of entitlement, yeah. And plastic surgery is the sine qua non of values, talking about things that are worthwhile.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how some are motivated and some aren't. Yeah, I would think most people are, it's pain avoidance is one of our primary operating modes. And these folks going in there, just give me a couple shots here in the face and here,
They don't have much else going on in their life. You know, the five ways that people are affected, physically, emotionally, intellectually, socially, and spiritually. If all they're concerned about is their physical look good, they got to get out more.
See how bad the other folks look.
Do you remember that? Oh, you twit.
Wrong interpretation.
It's going to be one of those days, isn't it? You see that program with the Hiltons on it who are out doing cowboy and stuff on a dude ranch?
Oh, yeah.
And they couldn't handle pitchfork with manure? Good Lord.
Yeah.
Reality check, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, it's would be.
Where's my limo?
Yeah. It would be interesting, I'm sure it'd be a thesis or something along those lines. What percentage of Americans could use a pitchfork successfully, grow potatoes?
Depends on how hungry they are.
No, but just have the knowledge of this stuff.
Oh, knowledge.
How insulated have we become from reality, a real normal reality?
Well, if you ask little kids, where does milk come from? Someone will say Safeway. Where do vegetables come from? Where does food come from? Safeway. Then they don't. They're little. Now, if you lived on a farm all your life, you'd know where eggs come from because you'd be gathering them when you're three or four. But you know, we're isolated from that. Not a bad thing, but it's definitely
just changing.
Definitely a thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have anything to do with issues of dignity.
No, but my follow-up question does.
Oh, alrighty.
My turn.
Your turn.
Have you been following the whole saga in Penn State with Joe Paterno?
Off and on.
Okay. And his death last week, and then.
And he was the one who was accused?
No, he was the head coach that reported it.
Reported it
the wrong channels.
And then it got buried, or
it got ignored.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting for me to hear and to see the news coverage, the sports coverage.
Delicate job of keeping people's reputation alive.
No. There was recognition that he was flawed because of this one thing and that he was a regular guy, but how much people were sharing of his care and concern for the community, for the players, for family. He had a great line two nights ago I read. The family table in the kitchen was circular, so there'd always be room for another.
Oh, that's nice.
That kind of, that's what this guy was.
That's a lovely line, yeah.
And this reporting thing, my belief is that he went up the ladder and then it didn't occur and some people were castigating him that he should have called the police.
The extra mile.
Rather than, yeah. Yeah, if so, then he
didn't. Well, the overall issue about these things that come up like that, like pedophile priests and coaches who report but nothing happens. The larger issue has to do with how common this stuff is, and then now in this...
How common is it?
Oh, it's very common. Ask 100 women if they were molested when they were children. Now, there's two kinds of molest, basically. There's icky, and then there's traumatic, right? But it all counts as an intrusion on their body by someone who should know better. Playing doctor is a whole different issue. But it's becoming more and more common now, and more people are able and willing to talk about it. If you start looking at the administrative levels of fear and lawyerism and can't we just make this go away, and you look at the Catholic Church, then you see all those layers now slowly being hammered and attacked, and some are peeling away. Depends on the diocese you're in. And some are not. And then so this keeps rolling upstairs. And it's eventually going to roll upstairs where the Pope's going to have to do something of substance about it. Well, that's going to take another several generations. But the administrative stuff that goes on in schools, hospitals, police departments, fire departments, large corporations... A lot of stuff gets buried and hidden because somebody's not willing to take it a step further, or whistleblowers get punished, or the victims are scared to speak about this stuff.
See, I would think on the flip side, as a business operator, that the cost of not doing something could be so horrifically large that you're endangering everything by not doing something.
Well, a lot of that's true. But a lot of people in positions of authority, power, control, administration, make assessments based on short-term rather than long-term. And they don't think about long-term consequences. They do a day, a week, a month. Can I make this go away? And as the week and the month goes by, it doesn't surface. And then 6 months go by and it doesn't surface. And then 5 years later, bang, three or four things all get together. Somebody started talking, and then they started talking to somebody else, and they say, well, it happened to me, too. And they talk to somebody else, and it happened to me, too. And pretty soon, now you got a cohort of people who are willing to talk to each other. And then they get the support for that, and then they go public with it. And then this poor administrator who thought he could make it go away...
Or the guy who's now the administrator who
did it.
Who didn't.
Oh, it didn't.
The guy who ignored left. Now the new guy is getting...
The current administrator takes the heat for what the other guy didn't do.
Of course, that wasn't the case at Penn State. He was there the whole time.
So. Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times 424. We'll be back with more from Luke Wimby.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:28. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of veneration of any individual, is it ever healthy?
Oh, depends on the individual you're talking about. Remember?
Okay, short of Christ.
Well, let's talk about living or dead. Kennedy, what would he have been like now if he lived? What would have come out about him? All his girlfriends?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't read the book.
Yeah.
Stephen King came out with a book.
On Kennedy?
12/23/63. What if it hadn't happened or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't read it, but you know, a number of guys have done that kind of speculation in writing.
Well, the news, the media gave him a break.
If the internet existed then, it'd be a little bit different.
And if the if we had the tradition of photographers, what do they call them, paparazzi? If we'd had that tradition here, then he'd be dog meat. But no, he died and left us the emotional heritage of what was his reign called?
Camelot.
Yeah. Left us with the heritage of Camelot. Yeah. Then they started dogging his poor bride, the photographers. So, veneration often means that you're looking at something you see in somebody else in a very narrow perspective way. And so you see that thing in them that you admire, and then you enlarge that about them to the exclusion of the rest of their balanced personalities, and you can lose sight of things. Is
that hero worshiping in a different context?
Right, right. But Vince
Lombardi
was pretty consistent. So I admire consistency in people. They work hard consistently and they treat people fairly. They have a private life of their own and a public life of their own, and they do good work, and they keep themselves out of trouble, and if they lose, they redouble their efforts next time, which is fine. So I don't venerate him. I admire and respect him. And whatever foibles he has, like all the rest of us, that's fine. But veneration is a little large for me. The problem with charismatic people is they drop you on your head after a while. Charismatic people don't follow through.
Okay, so it's the timeline.
Who is that?
Get you.
Who is that charismatic religious guy on TV that got caught in a Volkswagen with a hooker?
I could throw out names and it would probably be wrong, and then we'd start the rumor mill, and I don't. I mean, you already talked about the Pope, and I know it wasn't him.
No, it was not. No.
We'll take the break, do a little research, and continue when we come back. KINS News and Information Times, 4:31.
Now, a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby, simpler-minded.
Simpler.
Yeah. Still stumped.
Well, this I can't remember his name, but anyway, he got caught in public with a hooker and a Volkswagen. I think it was a Volkswagen. And he did this huge, great, big mea culpa, mea maxima culpa, crying admission on his evangelical show, and then he was off the air for a little while.
It wasn't Jim. No, Jim Baker went to jail.
He went to jail.
Yeah.
Anyway, he did this huge mea culpa, and then things died down, and he came back, and people forgave him. But people rant and rave against something. I always think of Shakespeare's words. Methinks thee protest too much, Petruchio. Yeah. Now, in a smaller version of that, you can get parents who can do no wrong, and they are not necessarily big charismatic types, but parents hide their stuff from their kids, and then their kids see them in a magical light, as it were, and they don't see the rest of what's going on. They don't see the balance in the personality. And so those kids grew up and marry, and then their marriage has troubles because they haven't been exposed to a balanced reality about what a relationship is about. So a simple version is like the movie Life with Father, where he was the autocrat at the breakfast table and all the kids had to bow down and worship him. So the kids learn good manners, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they also learn that women are supposed to be subservient to men. And so when the young man starts dating, he has trouble because
nobody's bowing.
He expects his girlfriends to be subservient, and it's not a happening thing at that point. So that's not good.
How do you know if you're in a balanced relationship?
Well, I look for some of the markers about what people hide, and I look for what I think, feel, believe, know to be a balanced system. That's my belief. Right, wrong, or indifferent, it's my belief. So I look for a balance of feelings and whether or not people are willing to talk. One of the treatment goals in TA is intimacy, which they describe as the developed capacity to talk, listen, discuss, ask questions without anger, blame, criticism, judgment, or conclusion. So if you talk to people and you hear something you don't like, understand, or agree with, I say, tell me more. And then I'm listening to them, not to myself. Because so often, if somebody says something that I take offense at, I'm listening to myself. It's my value system that takes offense. So I want to know why they say that. And if they can give me a rational explanation about what that's about, we can have a discussion about it. But if I block up into anger, blame, or criticism, there's no more talking. So That's one thing I look for, is whether or not people can ask questions and listen to the answer without getting all tangled up in their knickers. Another one is a balance of feelings. If people are not gunny-sacking mad or sad or glad or scared all the time. Some people don't do anger. Some people don't do scared. Some people don't do sad. Men, typically. Women as well.
So, the external putting words to it?
No,
or
showing.
Even recognizing that exists.
If I show sadness, people will think I'm weak. If I cry.
So you don't show it.
You don't show
it. But do you still feel it?
Well, you feel it, and then you suppress it quickly. Now you say it, now you don't. So it's suppressed. It comes up. It's a danger sign, so you shove it back down. So you know it's there. So in therapy, I know it's there, and I ask the right questions, and people start welling up in their eyes because it's close to the surface. When people are 45 or 50, it's not as close to the surface. There's other layers on top of it, and it's a little harder to get to sometimes. But I look for balance, and people aren't ashamed of their feelings so that they can talk about them with, I'm okay, you're okay, I feel this way about that, without having to apologize or defend it. That's a good balance. So if, I remember one time I was in my dad's shop and I was looking at Timken roller bearing instruction sheet and I said, Dad, what does the blah, 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 blah mean? And he went, what? And he ripped it out of my hands and read it and then he said, Well, what they'd done was they'd updated the specifications for the bearing. And he hadn't been reading a sheet for years, right? The cardboard case and the instructions go one way and the bearing goes on the journal the other. And he hadn't been reading about. You have to temper them differently if you're going to heat shrink them on, blah, 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 blah. So it's useful to read the instructions. And then from time to time, keep yourself updated. Well, childhood is like that. We make decisions in our childhood, but we don't update them. We move out of our family, start another family, work in the world with other people, not mom, dad, brother, sister. And they react, think, feeling differently about the same things that we did as a kid. So we have to update ourselves, bring ourselves into 2012, for example. Well, interestingly enough, that means having a look-see at what's in there. And if you don't like what's in there, you're not going to look. You know, anger, rage, jealousy, possessiveness, envy. I mean, those are my long suits.
Yeah. How do you like me so far?
Yeah, right. My story, and I'm sticking to it. So it's interesting to look inside without shame or fear. Fear is the little killer, as they say in the book Dune. Fear is the little mind killer. And fear makes people do all sorts of things. That's why people lie. They want to avoid punishment, or they want to gain advantage. So fear drives a lot of things. And if people aren't connected with what they're afraid of, and they don't talk to their kids in a normal, ordinary way, then the kids grow up distorted. What was your dad afraid of? Oh, my dad wasn't afraid of anything. Oh, really? What'd he do? He was an Army Ranger. Yeah, right. Right. So they sleep out in the jungle and a snake crawls over their leg and they're not afraid. Yeah, give me a break. Or they wake up with a tarantula on their face in the desert encampment. They're not afraid. Of course they're afraid. But daddy being a tough guy doesn't talk about those things. They work through them, past them, over the top of them, which is fine. That's what makes a ranger. But you're still afraid. Who was it? Patton said, if you're not afraid in combat, you're not paying attention or you're crazy, something like that.
Both would qualify.
Both would, yeah, right.
KINS, News and Information Times, 442. We'll be back, final segment of the week, in just a couple moments.
Well, it went fast.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, if somebody's looking to try to self-recognize balance or ask their close circle, do you think I am?
Yes.
How do you do it?
Ask questions, you mean?
Ask questions with relations that you want to define as, okay, this is a safe time for me to talk.
Well,
don't hold it against me, guys.
Yeah, one of my primary training therapists said when you're doing groups, maybe every quarter, every 3 months or so, you do a collect at the end of the group and you ask people, what's wrong with me? And then you write down what they say. No paragraphs, just a sentence or two. And you go around the group and you get 8 people to tell you what's wrong with you. And then you say, what's right with me? And then you go around and get 8 people to say, what's right with you? And the funny thing is, I did that for a couple of years. And I had the stuff written down. And I looked at it. And it's like every hang-up is a talent in disguise, and every talent is a hang-up in disguise. So everything that was right with me was wrong with me. Arrogant, male, chauvinist, pig, strong, brave, clear, compassionate. All they are is flip sides of the same coin. So, and it takes a bit of looking to sort that out. But after doing that for a couple of years, that's eight sessions with about 6 groups, it was just the flip side of the coin. So I started fine-tuning what to use and when to use it and how to use it. Now, being a male chauvinist pig grunt doesn't have an awful lot of useful aspects, but it does have a few, as long as they're appropriate to time, place, purpose, and situation. So it's okay to use that here and there. But generally speaking, it doesn't have a lot of traction. So I would just, to answer your question, I would just ask people, tell me what's right with me, tell me what's wrong with me. And then listen without argument or discussion and write it down. And go away and think about it. Just because somebody tells you something doesn't mean it's true or not true. But if you call me a horse's ass, I'll dismiss it. You tell me it twice, I'll dismiss it. 3 times, I'll dismiss it. 10 times, I'm going to start looking for a saddle because there may probably be something to it, right? If I get the same feedback over and over and over again. So if I deny that has any value, I'm missing out on a potential confrontation that could do me some good if I look at what I'm doing and how I'm doing it.
I would imagine, yeah, not being dismissive.
Not being dismissive
is a real strength.
That's the first one, because then if you're not dismissive, people will tell you more next time you ask. You say, hey, Bill, that was great last month when you said blah, 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 blah. Got anything else for me? What's right with me and what's wrong with me? Oh, okay. If you're not dismissive, people are happy to maybe say more. And there's a lot of value in that gift when people tell you what's right with you and what's wrong with you. They're the same difference. But just one thing at a time doesn't have any perspective. But if you start doing this on a regular basis, you get some perspective. And then,
you don't want to encourage a list of 35 things that are bad with you and one thing that's good.
Particularly,
the balance is your processing, too.
And well, aside from that, I think you're a nice guy. Faint praise from a hypercritical person, right? Jeez. Yeah, that's why employee evaluations have to be balanced. Because if they're not, either you're hyping your employee and then they'll just skate on you, or you're destroying them and you're not adding value. They've got to be balanced for growth. Same thing for therapists, doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, mom, dad, kids.
Spouse,
all the same. Yeah.
Something to consider until we meet again.
It is indeed.
Thank you for coming by.
It's always a pleasure to serve in some small way.
And this was the smallest. We've been Talking Shop with Lou Quimby. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.